I'm Lisa Morgan, Saturday afternoon host and co-host of The Weekly Reader here on WYPR. Federal funding for public radio is under serious threat. An end to that funding would make live streams like this one difficult to maintain. Stand up for public media and help fortify WYPR's future. Find out more and donate at WYPR.org. And thanks.
And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up on the show tomorrow, former Baltimore City Councilman Jody Landers will join me to talk about proposals that the current council is considering that would change zoning rules to make housing more affordable and available. The new regulations would increase density to make housing more plentiful. A couple of weeks ago, we had Councilman Ryan Dorsey on the show to speak in favor of the measures. Jody Landers opposes them. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Send us a message, midday@WIPR.org, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. And also on deck tomorrow, a theater review with J. Wynn Russick. She'll review The Mystery of Irma Vep at the Everyman Theater. So that's coming up tomorrow. My next guest today is Bob Babb, an iconic figure in the world of college sports who's retiring as the coach of the Johns Hopkins University baseball team after 46 seasons. Now, on the Johns Hopkins campus, Bob Babb's name is synonymous with baseball. They even named the field after him. Last month, Babb led the Blue Jays to victory in the Centennial Conference Finals in a season that included a 25-game winning streak. Here's the final call of the final out when they captured the conference championship.
Haverford took a 4-2 lead on Jackson's Groves' third inning homer. They have only a couple of hits since. And Curry hits it back to Sugrum on the mound. He tosses to first, and it's another Centennial Conference title for the Blue Jays, one last in the legendary career of Coach Bob Babb.
That was the Jays winning the conference title this year. That was a season that included, as I said, a 25-game winning streak. The Blue Jays were the number one seed in the Division III College World Series, and although they did not advance to the finals in that tournament, they did contribute to the unparalleled legacy of a coach who leaves an indelible mark on the hundreds, perhaps thousands, of players and coaches whose lives and careers he touched. Bob Babb joins me here in Studio B. He's a little embarrassed. You are welcome to join us as well. Our number 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org. Bob, it's good to see you. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Tom. I'm honored to be here for you to have me as a guest and look forward to chatting a little bit.
Well, we are honored to have you, and I'm sure you've heard from a lot more people than just me about the impact that you've had on this program, the baseball program at Hopkins, and so many, many students over the years. How's your head right now? I mean, that's a long tenure to call it quits.
Well, I've been on the Hopkins campus since 73, so it's been 52 years. It definitely feels a little different knowing that this is my last week basically on campus. But what I am looking forward to is Saturday night. There's going to be a big celebration in my honor, and over 500 people are already signed up to come. So I can't wait to see so many old friends, old players, old parents, old colleagues. It should be really nice.
That's great and well-deserved. I'm glad that they're going to be feting you in a manner in which you richly deserve. I want to ask you about your approach to coaching. What makes a good coach? I think any of us could probably say what makes a good player, a good athlete. But coaching, it's a mix of a lot of different skills.
It certainly is. I think the most important thing is developing a relationship with players so that a coach knows what he can say to them, what he needs to do to make them respond, what he needs to tell them that they can understand, and then just to be consistent in your approach to the game.
Consistent. What do you mean by that?
Well, I've always been pretty much a low-key kind of coach. I don't get overly rattled. In my, I guess, nearly 1,700 games that I coached, I was ejected three times Only three. And
so no Earl Weaver, are
no
you?
No Earl Weaver. And I always thought, well, I can't help the team if I get ejected. I can certainly, and have had many arguments with with umpires, but I try to treat them, with respect and point out what I think they missed. But as I say, I think it's important for a coach not to be too high one day, too low the next day, to be consistent, to every day approach it as this is another day where we're going to work to get better.
Childs Walker at the Baltimore Banner wrote a wonderful piece about you, a profile, before you went off to the World Series tournament. And he talked about what are known as BAB notes. You are famous for sending emails after games. He counted 1,840 of them.
What's
in those?
Well, after each game and during each game, I try to make some notes on things that we need to do better, things that we did not do well, ideas that I came up with during that game. And then I share them immediately after the game or sometimes the next day at practice with the team. Again, trying to make us better, trying to make sure everyone is on the same page with how we want to do things, what we want to add that we think can, again, help us be more successful.
And putting those in an email and sending them out, how do they land as opposed to your standing on the field the next day and saying, okay, guys, here's the deal?
To be honest with you, I don't send that many of them out via email.
Mm-hmm.
I only do that as a reminder because sometimes after the game, when we go over them, the players got a million other things like, I struck out my last at bat, or man, that home run I hit felt pretty good. I can't wait to celebrate tonight. So I'll go over them. But then, the emails are more or less a reminder of, hey, let's make sure we remember to do this.
Yeah, keep your eye on the prize, as
yeah,
it were.
Yeah, exactly.
Coach Bob Babb is my guest. He has been the coach of the Johns Hopkins baseball team for 46 years. He's retiring this week. If you played for Bob Babb, we would love to hear from you and get your reflections on your interactions with Coach Babb and your time on the Hopkins baseball team. 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org. And of course, Bob, everybody that I've talked to about your tenure there says that you're teaching a lot more than just baseball. And Johns Hopkins is a highly competitive academic school. And one of the things that it should be counted among one of your great accomplishments is that your players also excel academically.
Oh, no doubt. For them to, first of all, be the kind of player that we recruit, they have to have certain academic standards. So we look for a certain type of individual, obviously a certain talent level, but also a certain academic level. And we expect all of our players to do well. One of the things I want to mention is, I've had a great partner during my 40 years, Gilly Babb, my wife, who has been with me the whole way, has done a lot for the program. We've started meals for incoming freshmen and their parents to get them acclimated to Hopkins. We do Sunday evening meals where have the players make casseroles and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that we then take down to our daily bread. And then Gilly will feed them one of her terrific meals. She's organized all sorts of community service projects that I think is really important. So you're right. Our players are more than baseball players. They are terrific students. They're terrific citizens. I never hear a complaint about them having to do community service because I tell them, look, if you're going to play for me, we're going to give back. I tell people at my first meeting with freshmen, I tell them, if you're sitting in this room, you're really lucky. You've been given great academic skills. You've been given somewhat good baseball skills, but you've had things given to you from your parents or whomever that the normal student your age hasn't had. And as a result, you're going to give back, and that's part of our program.
Well, I wholly endorse your endorsement of Gilly, who, full disclosure, is a friend of ours as well. Our kids knew each other growing up. And, you know, it is an important aspect, I think, of a player who comes to a school like Hopkins, you know, especially in the freshman, sophomore year when they're not even used to being away from home. Gilly and you open your home to them and really help them calm down.
Well, hopefully, you know, we create a giving spirit in them and hopefully, you know, just give them a little bit more than just baseball. You know, we want them to be part of our Hopkins baseball family, and the alums are terrific in helping, you know, the current players find jobs. It's really a culture that has developed, which I'm very proud of. Probably the most thing I'm proud of is that culture of a family atmosphere.
And one of the players on your very first Hopkins team in 1980, Bill Stromberg, who has gone on to become the CEO of T. Rowe Price, one of the biggest corporations in America and certainly one of the biggest here in Baltimore. And he's quoted in the Baltimore Banner as saying, "Bob's teaching and Bob's mentorship played a significant role in helping me understand how to compete in any career and any phase of life." So it really is more than just baseball, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well, one thing I should mention, too, which people don't really realize, is I coached football for 20 years at Hopkins. And so
I was doing both for
20 years, yes. And I have a lot of great relationships, not only obviously with the baseball players, but a lot of those early football players who Gilly and I are still very close to.
Yeah. But they only named the baseball field after you, right? As far as I know, they haven't named the football field after you. Bob Babb is the baseball coach at Johns Hopkins University. He's retiring after 46 seasons. We'll have more with Coach Babb after a quick break. You can join us at 410-662-8780. Our email midday at WIPR.org. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WIPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you're just joining us, my guest is Bob Babb, the coach of the Johns Hopkins University baseball team. He's retiring after 46 years and 1,346 wins, which makes him the fifth winningest coach in Division III baseball history. To join our conversation, 410-662-8780, our email midday at WIPR.org. So, Bob, I have to bring up the fact that one of the things that eluded you was a victory in the World Series, the Division III World Series. You came close a bunch of times, but it just never happened. I know your players and fellow coaches were really hoping it would happen this year, you know, to send you off on that kind of high note. But how do you put that in perspective?
Well, you're right. We came as close as you possibly can. We were in the championship game in 2008 with the lead with two outs and two strikes in the bottom of the ninth. And, you know,
that's pretty close.
Yeah, that's as close as you can come. And that was tough to swallow. You know, they're always tough to swallow. But, you know, as I tell people, my career and the team's season is not defined by one or two games winning a championship. The road to get there is the challenge. We always set our goals to win the conference, hopefully then win the regional, then win the super regional, and then go to the World Series. And when we get to the World Series, we feel like we've done what we really wanted to accomplish. We would like to win the whole thing, but, you know, win or lose, you know, that was our first goal, to try to get there.
You never had a season that wasn't a winning season, since 1887. They've been keeping track of the number of games that the Blue Jays baseball team has won. They won 1,710 games since 1887, and you won 1,346 of them.
Well, I wouldn't say it was myself who has won them. It was the, you know, the players and my assistant coaches. You know, I certainly didn't do this by myself. But, it, you know, a coach is really only as good as his players. And I've had some wonderful players who have we talked about have become stellar pillars in their community. And that, you know, that's been the greatest joy for me, is to have relationships with so many of these players who are now friends. And many of them are close to my age, because I started coaching. I got the job when I was 24.
Yeah.
And my first team.
In those few years, you were barely older than the folks you were coaching.
The seniors had been, I had been a senior when they were freshmen. So I had played together with them in 77. And then when I coached them in 80 as seniors, there wasn't much age difference, and they were friends of mine. And that, you know, that has carried on to today.
You came to Hopkins as a student, but you were actually recruited for basketball.
Well, that's a funny story. Yes, I was recruited for basketball, mainly because the basketball coach at the time, Gary Rupert, was from Bloomsburg, where I grew up. And he had
played—
In Pennsylvania. Uh-huh. And he had played baseball for my father, who was the baseball coach at Bloomsburg High School. His brother was a basketball official in the area, high school official, saw me play and said to his brother, Gary, hey, you need to recruit this kid for Hopkins. And he's the one that got me interested in Hopkins.
And you came to Hopkins not thinking maybe you would have a career as a coach or a player. I think you were thinking about, what, law or something,
right? That's right. My goal was to be a lawyer. I always liked competition, and I thought, what better profession than to be a lawyer? But as things turned out, I think, you know, someone steered me in the right direction, what I was supposed to do. And it certainly was another one of my passion sports, because I played a lot of sports in high school. And as I said, my father was a coach, so I've been around sports my whole life.
And when you graduated as a player from Hopkins, you were the career leader in stolen bases. And players talk about, you know, the details, the little stuff, the, you know, the pickoff plays that you practice and play and try to plan and see opportunities for in games, and stolen bases, and, you know, the fundamentals, the you know, the, that part of the game. Is that something you see a lot in Division III, or are they out there swinging for the fences all the time and, you know,
doing it differently? You have all sorts of teams who play all sorts of styles. Again, I was blessed. I was around my father as he coached 25 years of a high school baseball coach. Interestingly enough, then he became the coach at Bloomsburg University, a Division II team. And as soon as that happened, Hopkins scheduled Bloomsburg University. So I actually coached against my father a few times.
Who won?
I won 5 of the 7 contests.
But who's counting, right?
But in any case, you know, I've been around the game my whole life, studied it. I've always been somebody who looks very carefully at different things and have different ideas. And I like to try some different things. I'm not one of those, hey, we're going to do it this way every year. I think every year, every team is a little different.
You also traveled with this team internationally with various teams. I mean, that was a big part of it. And again, what an experience for the players.
Oh, what an experience for not only the players, but everyone who went, parents and friends of ours. You know, I was lucky enough, Tom, because of these trips, to play in Italy, Germany, Sweden, England, Scotland, Portugal, Spain, Cuba, Czechoslovakia, Russia, the Soviet Union, the Czech Republic, Austria, just, you know, and I'm probably missing some.
Yeah, let the record show Bob's doing that without any notes. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, well.
I can't remember where I was last week.
Well, these were experiences that are hard to forget, because they were all so wonderful and so different. And, it, you know, for the players, what a learning experience.
with a team like the Baltimore Orioles, any of the major league teams, anytime they fall on hard times, they tend to fire the manager. You know, they fire the coach. So Brandon Hyde, you know, the season started badly. Brandon Hyde's out. What's your advice for Coach Mancellino? When a professional organization makes that kind of change, does it matter? Is it going to work? I mean, you know, when Mancellino took over, they lost the first six games that he coached, right? Then they won six in a row another time. So, you know, gosh knows. I mean, what's your take? When that kind of stuff happens, what do you think?
Well, as you know, they can't fire all the players.
Right.
So they need to make a statement because obviously the owner or general manager or whomever is not happy with the way the season's progressing, and they need to make some sort of statement. And I think the common way of doing that in sports nowadays is to fire the coach, hope to bring in someone new who might be able to motivate the players a little bit more or offer them a different way of looking at things. But for the most part, I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference at that level.
Is motivating something that you did consciously? I mean, did you find ever having players, to be at a school like Hopkins and have to keep up with your schoolwork and play any sport? These kids are clearly devoted, dedicated. College professors tell me all the time the best students they have often are the athletes because they have to allocate their time and be disciplined about it. Do they take much motivating?
They really don't, because most of the kids that are on our team, A, have great work ethics. They had to have that to, you know, have the kind of baseball skill and academic skill to get in. But they also have this desire to be the best they can be, whatever it is. And I tell, you know, people, whether it's playing ping pong or eating pizza or whatever, being the best bunner, they want to be the best. So they have that self-motivation to get better. And it has really made my job a lot easier.
Well, your job has been thrilling for fans and players for a long, long time. So congratulations on a great career, Bob, and best of luck in this next chapter.
Well, thanks. I'm really looking forward to the next chapter.
I hope you are, because you've deserved it. All right, that's Johns Hopkins baseball coach Bob Babb. And that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk about some of the bills the Baltimore City Council is considering to create more plentiful housing in our city. My guest will be former council member Jody Landers, who's also the former executive vice president of the Greater Baltimore Board of Realtors. Plus, Jaywin Russick will review The Mystery of Irma Vep, the new show at the Everyman Theater. Up next on Fresh Air, Washington Post reporter Hannah Natanson is the guest. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You're tuned to 88.1 WIPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.